Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there? I forgot to turn my mics off at the last show. I don't know what was said, but I hope no one's offended if you heard it. All right, let's move on. Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People live on WGH Talk. How are you doing out there? The sun is shining and it's such a beautiful day. Thank you so very, very much. Okay, we're live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. We are live right now on that TuneIn app, and all you have to do is download it on any electronic device and search WWGH. Live right now. In the studio, 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would like to make any remarks. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener, thank you so much for your faithfulness, your encouragement, giving me an opportunity to be on here. Thank you. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Also, these are sponsors or supporters, okay? Their number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street. Number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place this Saturday, and I'm pretty sure that is May the 16th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. at the above-mentioned address, 582 Lee Street. Asking everyone to pray for your friends and your neighbors and Cheryl Lee and also myself who are having health problems or being confronted with health issues, whether it's mentally or physically. Lift up your friends, neighbors, and families in prayer. Pray for our city government, our state government, our national government, our president, and all those who are in authority over us. Let us pray for them, that the Lord will lead them and guide them His way and not just their way. So we can pray. Okay, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for that. I want to say thank you to Tara Dyer, who was my guest last hour, and having her nephew, O.J. McDuffie, to call in and just share some good things with us about his growing up here in Marion, Ohio, and where he attended school and all that. Well, he will be here May 30th, and he will be the keynote speaker at Tri-Rivers, 2222 Marion, Mount Gilead Road, Marion, Ohio, May 30th. Doors open at 5:30. This is a dinner. Tickets are $25. Not only that, I have two free tickets here if you just call in and mention O.J. McDuffie. Okay? I have two free tickets if you would like to call in and get one of those tickets for the dinner. The dinner begins at 6 p.m. Or contact Tara Dyer at 740-751-8050. Or her email is teachdyer1957@gmail.com. So that is one of the events that's coming up in May. We also have this, Marion Histories Spring Lecture Series 2026. All lectures are open to the public. The time is 6 to 8 p.m. Place, Garden Room, Harding Center. And that's located at 267 West Center Street in Marion, Ohio. The presenter is Margaret Sumner, Associate Professor of History at The Ohio State University. This takes place May the 26th. That'll be next Tuesday, I think, or Tuesday after that. Legendary Leaders and Mentors, Family Stories from Marion's Black Community. This is sponsored by the Ohio State University of Marion. So hopefully those of you who have a free evening would like to take part in that. We would definitely love your support. And you may get something out of it or hear something you haven't heard. This is the third one of those activities, and I pray I can get there because I haven't been there yet. Okay, we're also talking about Juneteenth events. There will be a Faith and Wellness Walk June the 5th at 6 p.m. This takes place at Ohio State University at Marion, Ohio, address 1465 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio. That's the first week of June Faith and Wellness Walk. So those of you who would like to come, please come. There will be a walk there. You will be able to pledge whether you're going to walk 1 mile, 2 miles, or 3 miles. And everyone will be given a free certificate for participating. Water will be provided for you, and t-shirts will come with a $10 donation. Hope to see you there. Okay, a lot of these are like July and August, so we'll wait on those right there. Let's see what else we have here. That's June. The Bobby Floyd Trio. May Pavilion, the Palace Theater, doors open at 6, and entertainment at 6:30, June the 20th, silent auction and 50-50, general admissions, $40, pre-sale only. No tickets at the door. Okay. A lot of announcements going on, I tell you, a lot. But that's a good thing. It's nice to have things going on in our city. And you know, we have that every, I think it's the third Thursday for our city. In Marion, Ohio, there's bands. They have going to be present. I don't know if I shared that information or not, but let me look. I should. I hope I did. That way it'd be up, forth, and coming. Okay, so they're going to be bringing back the basketball tournament in Marion, Ohio, which has a history of being like 40 years old. They're bringing that back, and I think that takes place in July. Okay, I'll be talking more about that as well. July the 24th at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. Okay, I shared OJ McDuffie with you. Let me see. Da, 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 da. Oh. Sorry, Flawless Conference, Women's Conference of 2026. Ladies, it's time to push. Pray until something happens. Romans 12 and 12. June the 26th and the 27th. This will be taking place at the Gathering Places, which is where I go to church. Registration is free. Breakfast is free. Free event. Please come out and worship with us. And they usually have a beautiful conference, and it lasts for 2 days. But the first day will be Friday. Come in at 8:30 and register. Breakfast at 9 o'clock. Praise and worship at 10 a.m. Both days, the Gathering Place, 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio, no cost this year. Now, that place is located where Save-A-Lot was, and it is in the strip mall, Eastland Center, okay? Let me see what this is. Sevenfold Ministry. We just have a lot of announcements, and I'm trying to get them all for you. I may have to download these. Also, we have Sweet Mama's Barbecue Smoke. Hey, you still have time, hit us up. We will handle the food while you celebrate. Sweet Mama's Barbecue and Smoked Meats. Her telephone number is 614-203-8750. Barbecue ribs, mac and cheese, banana pudding, baked beans, all that good stuff. Collard greens. Give her a call. 640-203-8650. Okay. All right. Let's see, is this over the block party? Let me see. Oh, Mary Matters will be having a block party Saturday, June the 13th. This will be at Martin Luther King Park as well. It begins at 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Short and sweet. It will be community-focused, neighborhood-focused, and kid-focused. And this will be presented by Marion Matters and the Peace and Freedom Committee. It's called the Block Party, Saturday, June 13th. Mark your calendars, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Okay, Bobby Floyd dinner and residency celebrating May 13th. That's tonight, 6 p.m. at Harding High School. So if you can get out there, participate in that. Bobby Floyd Dinner and Residency celebrating May 13th at 6 p.m. at Harding High School. And like last weekend, we did go to Generations in Bloom Brunch and Fashion Show celebrating Mother's Day at the Marion Women's Club and Home. That was a great event. We attended that, and it was very well attended. That was last weekend, but I just wanted to put a plug in for Marion Women's Club. They are a great asset to our community. Our president now is Valerie Wigton. She's a great lady, and she does all she can to help her members. And we thank you, Valerie, for your leadership and your support. Okay, so those are announcements. I think that is all. Let's go with thought for today. Yeah, Tara was saying that not only is this the month for bees, it's also Mental Health Month in May. Mental health and, awareness. Being aware of where you are and who you are, which is great. Okay. All right. Got a headache, which I don't usually get, but I do. I have a headache today. All right, thought for today. You know, they didn't give me one for today. They did not. And I don't know why, but they did not have one listed. But I have them backed up. Let's look up some. A good one. First thought. Think first. Create. I like this one. Create continuously. Every day is an opportunity to be creative. The canvas is your mind. The brushes and colors are your thoughts and feelings. The panorama is your story. The complete picture is a work of art called life. Be careful what you put on the canvas of your mind today. It matters. So much it matters. You know, Tara was talking about some of the events that happened in our city last evening. I think there was a shooting, and they were like 15, 16 years old, and someone got hurt. It so matters what's on our minds and what's on the minds of our children. You know, last Sunday being Mother's Day, and I was called on to give a message, and, you know, going through the scriptures and things like that, looking at what the purpose of a mother was and what a mother does. And one of the things it mentioned was a mother being able to talk to her children, lead and guide them through the Word of God, ask them questions, you know, in your quiet time, and just being affirmative in their life and being present in their life, you know, and that somehow a mother could get out of a child what was in their thoughts and in their inner being and what they're thinking, and how she could combat some of those things, you know. And is it that we're just not that connected to our children, or is it that we just don't spend enough time with them? You know, we're in such a busy state of our life that we're moving here and moving there, and we're saying hi, but we're moving. We haven't stopped to sit, to talk, to even find out what's going on with them. And some of that is that, and some of it is that, you know, some kids are just very defiant, and they think you're trying to run their life. You're not trying to run their lives. You're trying to help lead them into a good life. You know, no, we're not trying to run your life. We're trying to lead you into a good life, you know, to keep you out of being locked up or being an outcast or being laughed at. You know, we've all gone to school and had to put up with those things. No, they're not the best things to have to experience and put up with. But you know what? It matters what's on our minds It matters what's on your mind. It matters what's on my mind, my children's mind. You know, how did they leave home that morning? You know, what did they listen to the night before? You know, what kind of mood were they in when they went to bed? It's just so many things that have an impact on our lives. You know, our thoughts leads to our actions, you know, and your actions and all those things has to do with your character. So we just don't want to be what they call passive or just dismiss all these different things that go on in our lives. We want to deal with them, and we should be able to deal with them. But we have to have time to deal with things. We have to have time to sit down and talk and find out what's on our young people's mind, you know, what interests them, you know. Like she said, even in the school, they have so many things that they can do other than sports. Everyone's not going to be a pro baller, footballer, a hockey player, baseball, football, basketball, any kind of ball. Everyone's not going to be a pro. And that takes hard work. People want that, but can you put the work in? Are you willing to put the work in to be one of the greatest players? You better believe it takes a whole lot more than saying, I'm going to be a pro ball player. NFL, NBA, any of this, National Hockey League, all of that. And, you know, baseball, basketball. Are you willing to put in the work to be great? You know, can people depend on you to be there? Well, first of all, you got to be dependable to go to school. Can they even depend on you to be in school? Is there anything that you want to be when you grow up? Well, you don't want to be a dud, believe you me, because that is a terrible feeling. And you would probably be feeling like that the rest of your life because you messed up and did not finish the first challenge that was before you, and that was going to school. That's your first challenge in life. Showing up, going to school, participating, being a part with the other children. That's what I look at. And sometimes it's not easy because we all have different obstacles in our way. We just do. We don't all experience the same things. I do want to share this with you, and it's titled False Hope. This comes from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. So, I'm just saying we don't want to live our lives on false hopes, thinking that we can do and be something that we're not willing to work hard for. I am going to read this as soon as I get it pulled up, Ephesians chapter 2. Yes. Let's see. And I'm going to read this, and it goes, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church, how much you sing psalms, how much money you put in the church, or how well you can speak. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained in that we should walk in them. Okay, that's Ephesians 2nd chapter 1 through 10. And it emphasizes, by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. The name of a pretty Bavarian town in Germany shares the name of a place of honor, Dachau, a museum on the grounds of this famous Nazi concentration camp attracts many World War II history buffs. As you look around, it would be hard to miss the misleading words welded to an iron gate, Arbeit macht frei. This phrase, work makes you free, was just a cruel lie to give false hope to those who entered this place of death. Many people today have false hope that they can earn a place in heaven by working at being good or by doing good things. God's standard of perfection, however, requires a totally sinless life. There's no way any of us can ever be good enough. It is only through the sacrifice of the sinless Savior that we are made righteous. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Eternal life is given because of God's gift of grace, not because of our good deeds. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Don't let Satan trick you by giving you false hope that your good works will save you. It is only through Jesus' work on the cross that you can have real freedom. Accept the teaching of the world and hopeless you will be. But trust in God's eternal plan if you want life that's free. False hope goes a long way. And it starts with people who want to deceive other people, making you think that you can have all that you want. Now, that would be a good thing if we all could have exactly what we want. At least we think so. Sometimes you can get what you want and you realize once you get it that it was one of the worst things that could have happened to you. Right? And you think, why did I want that? And why did I think I wanted that? I shouldn't. I have to take something for my headache. I'm sorry. And not really talking on the mic, but yes, my head hurts. Like I said, I'm not one to get headaches, but I have one today. Oh my. I'm gonna have to put some more ibuprofen in my purse. I only had one, but thank God I had that one. False hope. Believing something is true that's not true, or that it's not going to help. Oh boy, my head hurts so bad. I guess I could use prayer right now. My head hurts. Oh boy, I'm so sorry. So sorry. If I could earn my way into heaven, how could I go about doing it? How could I share that with other people? It's not like that man has the keys to heaven, because we do not. And sometimes I wonder, why does man think he's just so important that he can just walk into heaven no matter how he lives, no matter how he thinks about other people in this world, and no matter how evil one can be? You know, you think that others can't see you or hear you, but it doesn't matter, because eventually it's going to show, it's going to come forth, it's going to be uncovered. Everything that is done in the dark will be brought to the open, according to the scriptures. And this is plainly telling us that you cannot earn your way into heaven. No way are you going to get there on your own. You do not have the keys to the kingdom. Nor do I, and I don't even claim to. But I do not have the keys to the kingdom. And if you did have the keys to the kingdom, how would you be? Who would you let in to the kingdom of heaven? And what standards would you hold them to? You know, sometimes people will hold you to the standards that they don't even stand up to themselves. But if you have to go through them, they're going to make sure you crawl. You know, they're gonna remember those standards. They're going to put them standards in your face. Oh, you didn't do this, and you didn't do it this way. You didn't do it that way. Oh, yeah, it's different. It's totally different when someone else has the keys to the kingdom, and they say, okay, I'm not going to let you in. You better believe that. I remember when you did such and such a thing. I remember how you treated other people. I remember you stole that candy bar in the store when you were 5 years old. Those are the standards that they would lift up to you and would not let you in. Aren't you glad that God didn't put this in the hands of man who gets to go to heaven and who does not? I know I am. I'm so glad I don't have to go by man. They would not have mercy upon you. They would not. They would not have mercy on you. Here's another one. For sale. One soul. Matthew 24:28. Excuse me. This second hour is just not going right, is it? Thank you for bearing with me. This headache, and I can barely even see straight. Oh my gosh. Matthew 16:24-28. Okay. I don't know what happened. It's giving me a video, and I don't want a video. I just want the scripture. Let's try it again. 16:24-28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And I know that was over 2,000 years ago. What can you give for your soul in exchange for it? What? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Let's see what the commentary says. Help me. Help me, Lord, help me. Can't get that one. This literally has never happened to me before. A headache. A terrible headache. On the air. Christ, having shown his disciples that he must suffer and that he was ready and willing to suffer, here shows them that they must suffer too and must be ready and willing. It is a weighty discourse that we have in these verses. Here is the law of discipleship laid down and the terms fixed upon which we may have the honor and benefit of it. He said this to his disciples, not only that they might instruct others concerning it, but that by this rule they might examine their own security. Observe, what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Is it to come after him? When Christ called his disciples, this was the word of command: follow me. A true disciple of Christ is one that do follow him in duty and shall follow him to glory. He is one that comes after Christ, not one that describes him, as Peter now undertook to do, forgetting his place. A disciple of Christ comes after him as the sheep after the shepherd, the servant after his master, the soldiers after their captain. He is one that aims at the same end that Christ aimed at, the glory of God and the glory of heaven, and one that walks in the same way that he walked in, is led by his spirit, treads in his steps, submits to his conduct, and follows the Lamb whithersoever he goes. What are the great things required of those that will be Christ's disciples? If any man be willing to come, it denotes a deliberate choice and cheerfulness and resolution in that choice. Many are disciples more by chance or the will of others than by any act of their own will, but Christ will have his people volunteers. It is as if Christ had said, "If any of the people that are not my disciples be steadfastly minded to come to me, and if you that are be in like manner minded to adhere to me, it is upon these terms, these and no other, you must follow me in sufferings as well as in other things, and therefore when you sit down to count the cost, reckon upon it." Now, what are these terms? Let him deny himself. Peter had advised Christ to spare himself and would be ready in the like case to take the advice, but Christ tells them all, they must be so far from sparing themselves that they must deny themselves. Herein they must come after Christ, for his birth and life and death were all a continued act of self-denial, a self-emptying. If self-denial be a hard lesson and against the grain to flesh and blood, it is no more than what our Master learned and practiced before us and for us, both for our redemption and for our instruction. And the servant is not above his Lord. Note, all the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ must deny themselves. It is the fundamental law of admission to Christ's school and the first and great lesson to be learned in this school. To deny ourselves, it is both the straight gate and the narrow way. It is necessary in order to our learning all the other good lessons that are there taught. We must deny ourselves absolutely. We must not admire our own shadow nor gratify our own humor. We must not learn or lean to our own understanding nor seek our own things nor be our own end. We must deny ourselves comparatively. We must deny ourselves for Christ and his will and glory in the service of his interest in the world. We must deny ourselves for our brethren and for their good. And we must deny ourselves for ourselves, deny the appetites of the body for the benefit of the soul. Let him take up his cross. The cross is here, put on for all sufferings, as men or Christians, providential afflictions, persecutions for righteousness' sake. Every trouble that befalls us, either for doing well or for not doing ill. The troubles of Christians are fitly called crosses, in allusion to the death of the cross, which Christ was obedient to, and it should reconcile us to troubles and take off the terror of them, that they are what we bear in common with Christ and such as he hath borne before us. Every disciple of Christ have his cross and must count upon it, as each hath his special duty to be done. So each have his special trouble to be borne, and everyone feels most from his own burden. Crosses are the common lot of God's children. But of this common lot of God's children, but of this common lot, each have his particular share. That is our cross, which infinite wisdom has appointed to us, and a sovereign providence has laid on us, as fitteth for us. It is good for us to call the cross we are under our own and entertain it accordingly. We are apt to think we could bear such a one cross better than our own, but that is best which is, and we ought to make the best of it. Every disciple of Christ must take up that which the wise God hath made his cross. It is an allusion to the Roman custom of compelling those that were condemned to be crucified to carry their cross when Simon carried Christ's cross after him. This phrase was illustrated. First, it is supposed that the cross lies in our way and is prepared for us. We must not make crosses to ourselves, but must accommodate ourselves to those which God has made for us. Our rule is not to go a step out of the way of duty, either to meet a cross or to miss one. We must not, by our rashness and indiscretion, pull crosses down upon our own heads, but must take them up when they are laid in our way. We must so manage an affliction that it may not be a stumbling block or hindrance to us in any service we have to do for God. We must take it up out of our way by getting over the offense of the cross. None of these things move me, and we must then go on with it in our way, though it lie heavy. Secondly, that which we have to do is not only to bear the cross. that a stock or a stone or a stick may do, not only to be silent under it, but we must take up the cross, must improve it to some good advantage. We should not say, this is an evil, and I must bear it, because I cannot help it. But this is an evil, and I will bear it, because it shall work for my good. When we rejoice in our afflictions and glory in them, then we take up the cross. This fitly follows upon denying ourselves. For he that will not deny himself the pleasures of sin and the advantages of this world for Christ, when it comes to the push, will never have the heart to take up his cross. He cannot take up the resolution to live a saint, has a demonstration within himself that he is never likely to die a martyr. So Archbishop Tiltotson. Let him follow me in this particular of taking up the cross. Suffering saints must look unto Jesus and take from him both direction and encouragement in suffering. Do we bear the cross? We therein follow Christ, who bears it before us, bears it for us, and so bears it from us. He bore the heavy end of the cross, the end that had the curse upon it. That was a heavy end, and so made the other light and easy for us. Or we may take it in general. We must follow Christ in all instances of holiness and obedience. Note, the disciples of Christ must study to imitate their master and conform themselves in everything to his example and continue in well-doing, whatever crosses lie in their way. To do well and to suffer ill is to follow Christ. If any man will come after me, let him follow me. That seems to be idem per idem, the same thing over and over. That is the difference. Surely it is this: if any man will come after me in profession, and so have the name and credit of a disciple, let him follow me in truth, and do the work and duty of a disciple. Of this, if any man will set out after me in good beginnings, let him continue to follow me with all perseverance. That is, following the Lord fully, as Caleb did. Those that come after Christ must follow after him. Here are arguments to persuade us to submit to those laws and come up to these terms. Self-denial and patient sufferings are hard lessons, which will never be learned if we consult with flesh and blood. Let us therefore consult with our Lord Jesus and see what advice he gives us, and hear he gives us some considerations proper to engage us to these duties of self-denial and suffering for Christ. The weight of that eternity which demands upon our present choice. Whosoever will save his life by denying Christ will lose it, and whosoever is content to lose his life for owning Christ shall find it. Here are life and death, good and evil, the blessing and the curse set before us. Observe. I think I only have time for one point. The misery that attends the most plausible apostasy. Whosoever will save his life in this world, if it be by sin, he shall lose it in another. He that forsakes Christ to preserve a temporal life and avoid a temporal death will certainly come short of eternal life and will be hurt of the second death and eternally held by it. There cannot be a fairer pretense for apostasy and iniquity than saving the life by it. So cogent is the law of self-preservation, and yet even that is folly, for it will prove in the end self-destruction. The life saved is but for a moment. The death shunned is but as a sleep. But the life lost is everlasting, and the death run upon it is the depth and complement of all misery. and an endless separation from all good. Now let any rational man consider of it, take advice, and speak his mind, whether there is any thing got at long run by apostasy, though a man save his estate, preferment, or life by it. There is a lot of reading here, and I will not have time to read it all. The assurance we have of Christ's glory at his second coming to judge the world. If we look to the end of all these things, the period of the world and the posture of souls, then we shall thence form a very different idea of the present state of things. If we see things as the will appear then, we shall see them as they should appear now. The great encouragement to steadfastness in religion is taken from the second coming of Christ, considering it. I couldn't read it all, but we did get the main point. If you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose it when it's most important. And if you lose your life, you will save it when the time is most important. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. Thank you for bearing with me. My head feels a little better. I have one ibuprofen. But thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have a better show next week. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe out there. Be faithful to the Lord. And have a blessed and happy weekend. Thank you. God bless you.